catered by Christo's. So the meal will be at noon on Sunday, April 27th, to celebrate the 150th anniversary of the founding of our congregation. John and Maxine Myers wish to thank everybody for the cards and well wishes that they sent for John's recent stay in the hospital. So they really appreciate everybody thinking of them. Reverend Campbell, you have something you want to announce? So did everybody get that? Ken Kunze had a heart attack and he's in the hospital. So we need to keep him and the family in our prayers. On a lighter note, today is Maddie's 16th birthday today. And when you see her, she's even wearing a sash. Happy birthday, Maddie. Are there any other announcements anybody has or any changes to what I've said? And let's prepare our hearts for worship.
Oh, I have one more question. Did you talk about this?
No.
This is our project on the table. And I went to General Dollar or something and I bought a few packets of these. They're not very much money. We're gathering together these dust masks and these little reusable wipes as a part of the Indiana-Kentucky Conference gathering for the disaster plan. We're making buckets, and the dust masks and the handy wipes are our contribution from the Northwest Association. We need to gather, I don't know, as the Northwest Association, hundreds and hundreds of these. So I ask you if you can go to a dollar store or something and just pick some of these up. That would be great. The table's not filling up very fast, so I thought I'd give a little boost and say, this is what we're looking for. It's for a really, really good cause. Just these two items, yep. And so I'd like us to have a really good showing. And really, it's about competition and showing off. I want my two churches to win. So... And I want to help people too. So there you go. Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you.
Good morning, everybody. What a blessing it is to be in the house of God with you, or to be with you in the radio waves. We are glad, however it is, that you have come to worship with us today. I invite you to open up all of who you are to the presence of God. God is with us all the time, but sometimes we ask God to be with us in a way that is more intentional than we sometimes ask in our day-to-day living. And so right now, let's open ourselves up to the Spirit of God in our heart, in our soul, in our mind, and in our strength as we seek to worship God as a community here in this geographic place, in this building. Those who are listening on the radio, we are all one church. Let us rise as we are able in body or in heart. And am I wrong? We're singing first, right? Let's sing. Oh, turn to number 12 in our hymnal, I just want to respond to my own debacle. I made several mistakes this morning at Grace because I'm so excited that it's springtime finally. And my enthusiasm gets the better of me, and then I just start going off on my own tangents, and I did that a couple times, so I thought maybe I'd done it again. So I'm having a lot of fun anyway. Let's sing number 12, Holy God, We Praise Thy Name. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. When their breath departs, they return to the earth. On that very day, their plans perish. The Lord reigns for all generations. Praise the Lord. O God, this week I have tried to hear your spirit and do your will. Like Jesus, I have been tempted. Sometimes I resisted temptation. Other times I did not. Have mercy on me. To whom can I turn but you? I cannot and will not run from you. I wait for your grace and your strength. I call to the Holy Spirit to lead me into your paths. Teach me how to resist when temptations become strong. Help me find the strength of Jesus in the wilderness. Help me. Beloved of God, I don't know what kind of a week you have had. If it has been easy, if it has been difficult, if there's been much to resist, or a little. I do know this, that we can always turn to God. No matter what side you're looking at, no matter what direction you're going, north, south, east, west, or on a diagonal, God is always right next to you. So there are times in life where we have to resist something, and I think about weight training. So, you know, the resistance training is really good for the body. And it's really important for us to exercise like that, and we exercise our faith in a similar way. Sometimes it is in doing things that are a little bit challenging here in the community of faith in worship. And so we do a little resistance training because it's not comfortable for us, but we want to get stronger. So that when we leave this place and there's things that happen, we have already done our resistance training in a place that is safe. I think that we're called to live in our gifts and to live in our strengths as often as possible because God has given us these gifts. But I think sometimes things happen that we have to be strong for. So if at any point this week on this Lenten journey that we are walking as we identify with Jesus who struggled, there's anything that you did and you go, ugh. Or if anything that you didn't do and you said, why didn't I do that? I meant to do that. Or if there was something that you thought or you didn't think or said that or you didn't say and you know you could have. Turn. Turn to God and accept the forgiveness that is always there for you. And greater, much, much greater, infinitely greater is that forgiveness than any sin you might ever perpetrate.
Thank you.
Thank you, choir. I want to encourage people to think about joining the choir. I'm listening to them sing and listening to them sing in the fellowship hall and the acoustics there and the acoustics here. And it just, I really love music, you know that. But Maddie, how old were you when you started? 12? And you're 15 now? 16. I misheard. So, kids, how young will you take them? 5? You got to be able to read. Yeah, the children can come forward as I yammer on. You can come forward. You want to join the choir? Ask your mom. But you... There's something about singing in a group. Was that a we'll talk about it when we get home? there's something about singing in a group that can be very, very powerful and life-giving. And it is life-giving to the congregation as well. And I just want to encourage you to consider being a part of this musical group, because it's not just that they do music, it's that they've formed a community. Am I right? You know, they help each other out. If there's a tough part, they encourage one another. And I just would like to see as many people as possible. And I'm not looking at anyone specifically, but... Yeah, right. Exactly. Or if you play an instrument... I got a few ooh yeahs out of that. If you play an instrument, kids, adults, and you want to say, you know, I think there could be a good saxophone part, right? Trombone, guitar, drums, bass, whatever. Just, we would like to grow our music program, and the way to do it is to have people participate. How about some drums? All right, you want me to bring my drums? We can do some drumming. We can do that. How about what? Trumpets. I would love some trumpets. Yeah, that's my imitation of a trumpet. I do a much better air guitar. I do. Yes, guitars. Would you guys accept guitars? Loud drums. We got loud drums here. Yeah, loud drums. We got a lot of drummers, I think, here. So, and flutes and clarinets. So, anyway, back to more serious matters. And there's nothing more serious than music, in my opinion. So, really, I haven't gone off tangent at all. I want people to be involved. So, here in the back of this book, we've been talking about the United Church of Christ Statement of Faith. And we have it glued in the back of our book, as well as having a really big poster that I have to bring in a little bit more visibly. This is, when you become confirmed, this is something that we need to talk about and to look at. But it's not something, what's that? About Jesus. But it's not something that we say, if you don't believe this, you're in big trouble. We say, these are the guidelines. This is what we believe as a denomination. And we want you to look at it and consider it carefully. But we, as the United Church of Christ, are not a denomination that makes you believe this one thing absolutely and that one thing absolutely and like that. What we want you to do, and I know this is might be a challenge, but we want you to think. Yeah. We want you to think. We want you to look at what people say, listen to what's going on, and think about it, and ask God and pray about it for yourself. Yes. So there are sometimes little details that some of us believe that others of us don't believe. There are some things that we emphasize that somebody else might not emphasize, something that we celebrate that somebody else might not celebrate. And that's different from one United Church of Christ to the other. They're different from one UCC church to the other. Be nice. Yes, and you have God inside you to help you figure out God in everyone. I'm going to give him my headset. Because you have a word from God. And that's that God is in everyone. And does that matter about any? Is there any one person that God wouldn't be in? For any reason? No. God helps you sleep. God is everyone and God cares about anyone. Do you guys have any word? You want to get the microphone, don't you? Yeah. Yeah. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Annie's my helper, I shall not want. So thank you for being my helper. So now I've got this. Yeah. So what were you saying?
I do not know.
I think you got to turn it up. What you have to say? There we go. God is in everyone.
God is in everyone, but except spaceships.
Well, you know, in the United Church of Christ, if I believe that God is in a spaceship, I can believe that. But spaceships, oh, he wants the microphone again.
But, and also, God isn't in your heart.
God is in your heart. What about you? Got anything? Not yet? Anything that you believe? People, some kids really like the microphone. I did, too. I did, too. Some people don't particularly care for the microphone, or they want to have something prepared beforehand. Is that right? You'd rather have something prepared beforehand. You don't mind the microphone, but you don't want to do improv. I get it. Did you have something that you wanted to say about God being in everyone and God loving everyone? Okay. I just wanted to double check since you said you like the microphone. I don't necessarily want to go on a Star Wars tangent, but which could easily happen. Yes?
What about the storm?
What about what?
Storm.
What about what storm? Which storm?
The one outside.
The one outside? When did the storm happen?
I do not know.
A few days ago, maybe?
I know.
Was God in the storm? Was God helping people in the storm?
No.
Well, I think maybe God was helping people in the storm. Why not?
God was helping people in the house.
In the house.
And all people are God. God is in your brain.
God is in their brain. You're what? You're not saying this? Well, the point is that as the United Church of Christ, we can focus on the aspects of God that feel important in the way that we understand our gifts. We all have gifts. Some of them are to speak in a microphone and some of them are to not. Some of them are to speak off the cuff and some of them are to have things planned. Some are to work with your hands and to build things and to paint things. And you have something to say? No, okay. You just got excited, so I thought maybe something came to you. I think this is a time of prophecy. But I'm going to have to cut it short because we have a lot more to do today, this morning. And so I'm going to ask that you put this back. Exactly. And that we stand up and pray. And I want everyone to know nobody was coerced into saying anything. Can you stand up and pray? Okay. I'm going to make a circle. Okay, so for one last little round here, I want you to know that God does love you and is in your heart, and that God wants you to think, because God is in your brain as well. God is in your brain. There's no question. Be nice. Let's pray. Oh, God. You are in our brain, in our heart, in our spirit, all of us, no matter who we are or where we are on life's journey. Help us to use our brain, to think, in our heart, to feel, because we love you, God, and we know that you love us. Amen. Thanks for coming up. Speaking of thinking, on Tuesday night, this might have been announced, but on Tuesday night we have dessert and discussion. And that is a great time for us to think together about the scripture and about the devotion. Tuesday night at 6:30, and there's dessert.
John 19, verses 1 through 16. Then Pilate took Jesus and had him flogged, and the soldiers wove a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they dressed him in a purple robe. They kept coming up to him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews," and striking him on the face. Pilate went out and again and said to them, "Look, I am bringing him out to you to let you know that I find no case against him." So Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. Pilate said to them, "Here is the man." When the chief priests and the police saw him, they shouted, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "Take him yourself and crucify him. I find no case against him." The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and according to that law, he ought to die because he has claimed to be the Son of God." Now, when Pilate heard this, he was more afraid than ever. He entered his headquarters again and asked Jesus, "Where are you from?" But Jesus gave him no answer. Pilate therefore said to him, "Do you refuse to speak to me? Do you not know that I have the power to release you and the power to crucify you?" Jesus answered him, "You would not have no power over me unless it had been given to you from above. Therefore, the one who had handed me over to you is guilty of a greater sin." From then on, Pilate tried to release him, but the Jews cried out, "If you release this man, you are no friend of the emperor. Everyone who claims to be a king sets himself against the emperor." When Pilate heard these words, he brought Jesus outside and sat on the judge's bench at a place called the Stone Pavement, or in Hebrew, Gabbatha. Now it was the day of preparation for the Passover, and it was about noon. He said to the Jews, "Here is your king." They cried out, "Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him!" Pilate asked them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priests answered, "We have no king but the emperor." Then he handed him over to them to be crucified.
You will no doubt notice the different speakers that we have in the sanctuary. And as we praise God and listen to the word of God, being able to actually hear what's going on is really, really important. So I am grateful for the donations that were made to make this sound system a better one. And we're still figuring out the sound levels and all of that. But as a church community, we are building something, not just in our spirits, but physically, where we worship. So our hearts are full and grateful when we can understand what's actually being said. These are much clearer and actually much more powerful than we're used to. And I hope that we can all come in here and worship with our whole heart without distraction from just struggling so much. I just wanted to mention that before I got into the message that I have for you today. We heard the story of Jesus and Pilate. An interesting story. Jesus was a threat. Now, how can a man who, what he did most of all was heal people, how could he be a threat? It seems like he wouldn't be a threat at all, that you would welcome him into your home, that you would welcome him into any place that he went, because he just might make somebody feel better and change them for the rest of their life. But no, he was a threat. Because people started to talk about him as a king. Because he talked about himself being the Son of God. So he was a threat to the safety of the Jews because he was considered their king. The politics of the day did not separate out religion. The king was a divine ruler as well as a civic ruler. For Pilate to declare, "Here is your king," to the Jews could have felt like some kind of a trap. The people might have felt backed into a corner because Pilate, a political leader, if they had said, "Yes, that is our king," he might have said, "I knew you didn't honor the emperor. I knew it. Now you're all in trouble." And by trouble, I'm not talking about a slap on the wrist or a fine. "Here is your king," might have made them feel intimidated. Pilate was afraid. The Jews were afraid. The Pharisees were afraid, and all for different reasons. And with all that fear in the air, can you imagine the tense energy? Have you ever been in a room where people were all afraid of something? Certainly, we've seen movies, and you get a sense of it, but when you're actually there in person, fear is palpable. Today, where we live here in Plymouth, Indiana, or wherever you live, we don't have to worry about such things in terms of religion. At least as Christians, we can say pretty much anything we please, and there's a comfort to that. But there's also something disturbing about it, at least for me, because if you can say pretty much anything that you please, sometimes you say things that mean nothing. There are some people who say things just for shock value. Sometimes they do it professionally, like shock jocks. I don't understand provocation for the sake of provocation. Sometimes we have friends, and I've had a couple of these in the past, friends who you find out, well, they're not actually talking about what they believe. They're just saying things to see how you will respond. They like to poke you and see what you're going to do. Those people don't stay my friends for very long. Because I want encouraging friends, uplifting friends. I don't want to be poked just to see which way I wiggle. Physically, emotionally, spiritually, mentally. It seems to me that our culture does not place enough emphasis on the importance of words. If what we said, if everything we said was carefully chosen, because we had to be careful, what do you think we would end up talking about? If people were actually listening to everything you said and analyzing it and saying, if you say one thing off, you're in trouble. That's hard to imagine, isn't it? I hope so. Because we live in a country where we can speak our mind pretty much. So let's narrow it down to the comfortable subjects of politics and religion. That was a joke. So often you hear, oh, don't talk about politics or religion. We're, you know, at the dinner table or at the this or at the that. Well, we're in a church, so we get to talk about religion. At least I get to, and I hope you do too. But right now, if we wanted to say, that's not our president, We wouldn't get arrested, interrogated, put in jail, or anything like that. People say it every day. On Facebook, I see it all the time. We also have laws that say we can worship as we please, or we can choose not to worship at all. And these laws don't necessarily hold true equally across the board for non-Christians. There are some religious groups that are watched. But as Christians, we pretty much have free rein to worship as we see fit. Now, that doesn't mean that our friends might not criticize us, but I'm not talking about just that. I'm talking about danger. Life hasn't always been like this, and it still isn't in some places. So if we wanted to stand up on the street corner all together and yell out that Jesus was our president, we could do that. And nobody would put us in jail. I used to say I didn't vote because Jesus wasn't running. Not the smartest thing I've ever done in my life. The worst thing that could happen is that people might look at us askance, unless we made a public nuisance of ourselves, in which case we might get put in jail, but not because of what we were saying, because we didn't have a permit for a public assembly. We really have a lot of free rein. In the UCC, we take that free rein as something to be very important. We make declarations in our statement of faith. It's not a binding creed that we make people swear, will you believe this? Yes, I will believe, I promise. We don't do that. It's something that gets at the foundational beliefs of our denomination. The section that we're looking at today says this, you bestow upon us, this is in prayer form, O God, you bestow upon us your Holy Spirit, creating and renewing the Church of Jesus Christ, binding in covenant faithful people of all ages, tongues, and races. You call us into your church to accept the cost and joy of discipleship, to be your servants and the servants of others, to proclaim the gospel to all the world and resist the powers of evil, to share in Christ's baptism and eat at his table, to join him in his passion and victory. We declare this. We believe that with all other kinds of people, we are the Church of Jesus Christ, and that we have access to God's Holy Spirit. We also declare ourselves accountable to God to perform service to others, not just to each other. We're not a club. To everybody, whether they believe like us or not. When someone comes in here and says, I'm hungry, and we say, well, we have a pastor's pantry, we've got food, we don't say, what is your creed? Who is your God? How often do you go to church? We don't do that. We say, you're hungry. That's terrible. Have some food. We declare our intention to accept both the cost and joy of discipleship as well as to share in the passion and victory of Jesus through our sacraments, baptism, communion. And we can make these declarations openly without fear. If we want to, we can memorize the statement, and when someone says, hey, what's the UCC about? We can rattle it off. You know that little elevator speech that people talk about? Maybe you don't know. When you're involved in organizations, they say you should be able to get it down so that when you're going from the first floor to the third floor, you can explain it to people succinctly. So we could rattle this off as a way to say, this is what the UCC is about. But I wonder, when we do stuff like that, if it means anything to us. Or are these just words that someone wrote? There are several versions of our statement of faith. This came about because language changed and some folks thought that that mattered. If you go on the UCC website, you'll see all the different versions. At some point, someone says, by golly, we needed to have this in Spanish. And so they made it in Spanish. Someone said, hey, we need to have this as a prayer. And so we have it as a prayer. They looked at the words we were using and said, we need to make this more accessible to today. And this has happened to the Bible too. For better or worse, there are lots of different translations and transliterations of the Bible. I particularly like the New Revised Standard Version. I like the word choices that it makes. However, when I first started reading the Bible when I was 15, I chose the King James Version because I loved poetry. And so the poetic nature of it really spoke to me. So now when I think of phrases, I have to look it up in the King James Version, and then I go over to the New Revised Version, and I go, okay, that's what it says here. But I memorized it. I don't really have the Bible memorized. Please make no mistake. I have little snippets of the Bible in my mind, and I can look them up on my iPad as I can. So, you know, this is a handy device. But those snippets I remember are usually in the King James Version. Word choices matter to me. How the translators shaped the translation matters to me. I'm not saying that we are, all of us, nonchalant when we talk about our devotion to God or when we talk about being a Christian. I'm not trying to admonish us as a church or anything like that. I'm just trying to lift up the importance of words. I do believe that it would be good for all of us to pay attention to what we say and how we say it. If we say we follow Jesus as Christ, what does that mean? How does that make the rest of our language work? What topics of conversation do we entertain? What do we post on Facebook? What do we say at the coffee shop to our friends? Or when we gather together to play sports or do any number of things that we do. How does being a Christian change our topics of conversation, or how does it provoke us to say, I don't agree with you. I'm not going to talk about that. I'm not going to talk about her that way. I'm going to make a choice to feel uncomfortable now with you and tell you that this is not all right with me. I'm not going to just promote the party line. That's something in the United Church of Christ that we don't want people doing, just promote the party line, because that's what it is. That's why we have the red mic and the green mic during conventions and conferences. It's so we can talk it out and speak our minds in love, in covenant, not in anger. There's a lot of mystery in life. I don't claim to know everything about God or Jesus or the Holy Spirit. And if I ever do, sit me down and wag your finger at me. Nobody should ever say they know everything about God, Jesus, or the Holy Spirit, because we don't, because they're filled with mystery. I don't understand why things happen the way they do. I do know that my words create and they destroy. They uplift and they put down. I remember visiting my brother Jim in Bothell, Washington one time. You know how brothers and sisters or cousins or just close people sometimes have a language all their own? And so it doesn't take much to say what you're going to say. So I said to him, what has changed about you? And he knew exactly what I meant. And he said, I learned that words matter. I don't just say the first thing that comes out of my mouth anymore, because once you release that word, you can't take it back. It's out there. I can ask for my wife's forgiveness or my children's forgiveness, but it's out there. And I don't want to do that anymore. I about broke down and cried right then. That was one of the most beautiful things he could have said to me as a, you know, in your mid-20s, how often do you have these revelations? When Pilate said to the people, here is your king, this account in John says that he was trying to release Jesus. He didn't want to crucify him. When the people insisted on Jesus being crucified and Barabbas being let go, I can't say with any authority what those people were thinking. We can see, though, that fear caused something terrible to happen. An innocent man, even a good man, died. Died. Because Pilate was trying to speak up and nobody joined him. And the truth is, if people in the crowd had joined him, they might have gotten in trouble too. Sometimes what we say gets us into trouble. when we speak authentically, when we speak from the center of who we are. Sometimes it is uncomfortable. Sometimes you get fired from jobs. I wear that with a badge of honor. The time I got fired from a job because I wouldn't shut up. Because what was going on was wrong. And I wouldn't just, what is it, go along to get along? It just felt icky. Like worms crawling all over me. That was more uncomfortable to me than the discomfort that I created in the room. I remember having another conversation, and then I'll come to my conclusion. This is a subject that I'm really excited about, though, so I get to going on it, and, you know, it's the way it is. Anyway, I was at work in one of the offices that I worked at, and we were mostly a bunch of white people. And they were talking about something that was pretty middle-class white-oriented, and I said to them, how does that make you feel as a white person? They're like, what? And everybody left. I mean, it was one of those hallway conversations, and they just kind of scattered. Because I was bringing up the fact that we were in a particularity, and so we had views because of our particularity. I was not very popular at that job either. We need to reflect on the words that we use. We need to change the words that we use when we find something new out, when we learn new information. We need to make our language mean something, all of us. When you declare your faith, use words that you really believe. Don't let fear drive you. We accept the cost and the joy of our discipleship. As servants of Jesus Christ, we are to be in service of others, all others. We are to join Jesus in his passion and victory. These are exciting proclamations. I was in a meeting in Indianapolis this past while ago, and everyone was talking about prayer, and they were talking about Taze and contemplative prayer and centering prayer, all wonderful prayer practices. And I said, but can we also include other kinds of prayer? Because I'm an ecstatic. I'm not a contemplative. I'm an ecstatic. And I want to have an opportunity to jump up and down a little bit. And they were like, oh, yeah. But predominantly, you know, there's one way of doing things and thinking about it. And if we don't ever stick our neck out, nothing changes. Here is your king. That's what I have to say to you today. Here is your king. He calls you to be real, to engage with others authentically, and to make a difference in love. Let us think about that as we rise as we are able in body or in heart and sing our next song, I Know Whom I Have Believed.
Thank you.
you may be seated.
After I say, in your mercy, please respond with, hear our prayer, O God. Let's join our hearts in prayer. For the times when we are sick, Lord God, be our healer, in your mercy. For the times when we are confused, Lord God, be our clarity, in your mercy. For the times when we are anxious, Lord God, be our comforter, in your mercy. For the times when we are lonely, Lord God, help us feel your presence, in your mercy. For the needs of our friends and family, Lord God, act swiftly in your mercy. For all who enter our lives and went one way or another, that your grace abide in your mercy. Please join me in the prayer that our Father taught us by saying, Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come.
As we prepare our hearts to receive our offering, I invite you to make sure that you've written down that you're here in the registration pads. We're really glad that you've come, and we like to have a record of that. And I thank you for the ways that you support this ministry in money, in time, talent, as well as in treasure.
Good gifts come from you, O God. We receive your gifts and give a portion back to you. We pray that you will bless this offering from your people. O God, use these gifts and us for the sake of your kingdom here on earth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We say no matter who you are or where you are in life's journey, you are welcome here at this table. If you hunger and thirst spiritually, please come and join us in this sacred meal. Please join me in the communion prayer. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and fitting to give our thanks and praise to you, ever-living God. We bless you for the beauty and the bounty of the earth, and for the vision of the day when sharing by all will mean scarcity for none. We bless you for your continual love and care for every creature. We praise you for forming us in your image and for calling us to be your people. Our way, our truth, and our life. We bless you, gracious God, for the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives and in this church, with your daughters and sons of faith in all places and times. We praise you with joy. We have been going through the scriptures leading up to Jesus' crucifixion, and at this table we bounce back just a little ways to recall when he was sitting at the table with his friends, knowing that he was about to go through what he went through. And he wanted to share that last meal with his friends. He wanted to be with them. It was probably good for him, but he also wanted to be there for his people. And so in the middle of the meal, he picked up a basic food, the bread, and he broke it, and he said, "This is my body, broken for you. Take it and eat it. Every one of you, take a piece and eat from this." And so they did. And in breaking the bread and each of them taking a piece of the bread, they became joined with Jesus and joined with one another. And then he picked up the cup and he blessed it. And knowing what was about to happen, he said, "This is the cup of the new covenant. Take it and drink it, all of you. Take some of this cup into yourselves." And so they did. And as they did, they shared in Jesus' suffering, but Jesus' joy as well. And they shared as a community, each taking a sip, joined together by the Spirit that was with them. And as we eat and as we drink, we share in that moment. We share in this moment together, and we share in the future moments with people everywhere who celebrate this sacred meal. The table is ready. Prepare your hearts. Beloved in Christ, take and eat in remembrance. Beloved of God, take and drink in remembrance of Christ. Let us share together in our prayer of thanksgiving in our blue booklet. We give thanks, Almighty God. You refresh us at your table by granting us the presence of Jesus Christ. Strengthen our faith. Increase our love for one another and send us forth into the world in courage and peace, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Thank you for serving.
Let's rise as we are able in body and heart.
Turning to number 280. No. Turning to number 285, in Christ there is no East or West.
She's going to make it or not.
Thank you.
Loving God, our hands are open to you. You, who loved us into being. You, who searched for us and never let us go. You, who embrace us and call us beloved. Whether we are faithful or fickle, you embrace us and call us beloved. At your invitation, we hold before you now the depth and breadth of our collective life. With joy, we offer our gifts to be extended your love and embrace throughout this community and the world.